Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time to chat with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnuolo, coming off a 33-17 Cowboys victory. Mick, how the heck are you?
I'm doing good. How are you guys today?
Man, after a win like that, if you're anything but good, it's tough to argue. Mickey, I'm hoping you can help us out here, because we have a whole bunch of avenues we get feedback. We get feedback on the fan text, on the YouTube, on the Twitch. In our YouTube chat, there is, I guess, perhaps at least one person who refuses to believe the reports that Jake Ferguson has a sprained MCL and it's actually just a bone bruise. I don't know how this person knows that, but have you also heard that it is a sprained MCL?
Well, I can tell you what they were thinking after the game, and they were waiting to get the results of an MRI, that they were pretty sure, but not 100% until they got the MRI, that it wasn't a torn ACL.
Yep.
So the fact that I guess it got reported as a MCL sprained. There was a thought after the game it was an hyperextension of the knee, but that it wasn't an ACL. So, you know, and everybody was cautious because you got to see it, right? But
yeah.
Normally, the doctors know, right, just by how they examine the knee. And they're usually pretty right. Like, they know when it's a torn ACL, even though they get the confirmation. It's sort of like when I tore my Achilles.
Oh.
All they had to do was grab it, and they go, oh, yeah, you tore your Achilles. And I go, don't we need a MRI? And they go, we could, but we're wasting time and your money.
Interesting.
And so, you're like, but I would like the MRI just to be sure. And they're like, okay, right. All right, man. All
make right, sure yeah. you're not making a mistake.
Confirmation,
right?
Yeah. It's a torn ACL. Achilles, that has to be a huge sigh of relief, because, Mick, I know you got to wait for the doctors, but when I saw that play out, I had the worst concerns.
It was kind of weird the way it's like, I mean, the knee kind of got stuck. It's not like there was a twisting thing in it.
Yeah.
If anything, you know, you take out of that game, it's like, well, not happy about this. That might have been, you know, top of order, other than, you know, kind of second half, the defense kind of going into kind of a spin cycle there where they couldn't really get going.
I felt the same way about the offense in the second half. I don't know if there's any mental aspect that goes to that where you're like, this game feels like it was over, but
yeah, with the punt return, it was like,
well, you know what? I think when you get up 27-3 and they're not doing diddly, and your defense, you know, is out there stopping the run, basically, 6 sacks, and Deshaun Watson looked like he should have been playing in the UFL.
Yes.
You're not going to take a lot of chances. You're going to kind of dumb it down. And I'm not saying they didn't try, but there's no sense trying to complete the 34-yard pass that they did to Lamb in the first half to kind of, loosen things up. And so I thought they went a little bit more conservative from a play-calling standpoint, knowing that, hey, let's not get silly here. Now, when you get the turnovers they did, the fourth down stops in their territory, you'd like to do more than kick field goals. But then Brandon Aubrey kind of said, hey, remember me? Mm-hmm. I was pretty good last year, and I still got it.
Yeah, but
he got screwed
out of an opportunity to kick a 71-yarder.
What do you think the umpire was doing standing over the ball? Because they don't get a free substitution, right? It's not like the Cowboys substituted. They had their field goal unit out on the field ready to go, and then Cleveland was running in the 11th guy, and the guy stood over the ball until the guy kind of got in place. And then I think the Cowboys must have thought they were going to get it off, and they could have called timeout, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But I don't know if anybody wasn't watching the clock, the weird thing was I went back and looked at it, and Tolbert went out of bounds after he made the catch, and immediately when he got up they started the 40-second clock, and I was like, well, that's a little early. They hadn't even kind of close to spotting the ball, and usually when they're going to put. They know they're going whatever they're going to do. They kind of hold the clock up. But
they're trying to get out of the half.
Yeah, and then it's like maybe they just wanted to go home. I don't know, but too bad. And then from 71, it would have been cool until they put the guy under the goalpost for the return.
I still wanted to see it. Reasons it didn't happen, I still wanted to see it.
And why didn't they instead kneel it out at that point?
Instead of trying to throw a Hail Mary.
Yeah, I didn't love that because it put Dak at risk.
Well, it did, and they didn't do a very good blocking three-man rush, right? Yeah. But I mean, it was good from 70. That's all I know on the 66-yarder. But again, what you got to remember, was it Auburn, Alabama?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Kick six.
That kind of comes back into your mind. Like, sure. I've got 10 guys out there who are not trained to make tackles, and here comes this guy with 50-yard head start.
Mickey, tell me I was right, or how right I was, about Eric Kendrick's impact on this team.
Oh, he was awfully good. And I think he introduced himself to the rest of the Cowboy Nation, probably didn't know much about him, probably didn't think the Cowboys signed any credible free agents, by the way.
Yep.
And he was a free agent. 9 tackles, 2 sacks for the first time since 2016. He ended up with a pick on a batted ball, passes, defense, quarterback hits. He was just all over the place, and he told me after the game, he goes, hey, I was just trying to prove myself to my teammates that I can still play, and I thought he certainly did that. I was a little concerned when he missed a series or two there in the second half, but it was another case of dehydration, so he came back and finished, and boy, did he play awfully well.
I think
put Overshown in that.
Yes,
in that category, that sack he looked like he was shot out of a cannon. I think he shocked Watson that he came at him so fast on that play. And hey, Kalen Carson, right? Did almost forgot him. I kept looking for Amari Cooper. Like, was he on the field?
Yeah, Amari struggled because.
Because Watson struggled because their offensive tackles that they tried to play with struggled.
Oh, their offensive tackles played last year, Mickey.
Yeah, I know.
They played 26 games.
They weren't raw rookies.
Yeah, that team was 11-6 last year, and those offensive tackles were there for a majority of it. So I'm okay with that. But yeah, no, I mean they put a lot of pressure on Deshaun Watson, and then in the secondary, the coverage was fantastic.
Yeah, no, they did a good job. And see, this is what happens when you don't play your guys in the preseason and you're not at training camp watching the practices and kind of judging, well, okay, this guy's not bad. This guy's not bad. And then everybody, you know, is making predictions off of what the Cowboys didn't do in the offseason, but they did something, and they didn't spend a lot of money, so they can continue to pay CeeDee Lamb on an extension, pay Dak Prescott on an extension, and put their dollars in the big spot, not trying to make a splash with veteran free agents that another team didn't want.
On the Dak front, are you surprised? I'll admit, I'll just speak for me. I'm surprised that this deal didn't get done sooner if these were the parameters of the deal. I feel like this is probably where folks thought it was going to come in about 4 months ago.
Yeah, and again, you don't know what they were asking for.
That's true.
Right? We're just assuming, oh, well, that's what it is. Well, I think when you get the real numbers now in a day or two, however long it takes to come out, not the agent numbers, you're going to see that the average is probably a little less than $60 million a year. And the guarantee, my understanding, their side wanted everything guaranteed, like the whole package, sort of like Deshaun Watson got.
Yeah.
And so they made somewhat of a concession to only guarantee 231.
Yeah. We really showed them what's up in that negotiation.
Boy, we showed them, didn't we?
All right, you can have 96 or 97%
right.
of a guarantee.
So there were still negotiations going on. It wasn't like, well, we should have just done this, right? And again, there was a lot of structure that had to take place, lessening his base salary for this year, which won't take place until today or tomorrow when they actually sign the contract. So basically, he was playing on 1/18th of his original base salary. And then they'll get some cap relief starting this coming week. So, but yeah, there is other things on structure. They had to add voidable years at the end so they can prorate the signing bonus, the $80 million, and not have, because they couldn't stick any more of that signing bonus into this year. Otherwise, the cap would have gone up, right?
Yeah.
So there was a lot of different things that needed to get done. And I know the other reaction is, well, I know Jerry was going to do that to make a splash on national TV. Look, this thing didn't get done till Sunday morning, and the Joneses were in here in Dallas negotiating until they got it done, and then jumped on the plane and got to Cleveland as the warm-ups were already taking place.
Really?
Yeah.
We can't admit, though,
that's interesting.
That they do enjoy the show.
Oh, no, I'm sure he does. I mean, Jerry, I'm sure he enjoyed the standing ovation when he walked out the tunnel, right,
yeah.
for the first time. But it wasn't like a plan, okay, this is what we're going to do, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the negotiations, you know, we could tell, I mean, you guys know, we could tell like Thursday how question, and Friday when Jerry was on.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't want to answer the
nope.
question, right? And Dak's tone turned on Thursday. So you knew they were kind of getting close, but really it didn't get done until Sunday morning. You know, and then they took off and came to Cleveland after they knocked out the agreement, which I guess will get signed today officially.
Outstanding stuff. Appreciate it very much, good sir. We will catch up with you again tomorrow.
Sounds good. See ya.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, Corey, I know we've gone very NFL heavy today, but I feel like we got time for a little something else. Hit it.
Ewers sprinting out. Squares. Throws. Touchdown, Texas. Matthew Golden.
Now, we will still do the Tuesday tailgate tomorrow, but Texas put an absolute beat down on Michigan this weekend. Texas moves up to number 2 in the AP poll. And did you see the SEC has 6 of the top 7 teams in the country.
Name them all, Kevin.
I feel like I should probably be able
Alabama,
to do that.
Georgia,
Texas, Ole Miss.
There you go.
Tennessee.
That's what I said. Is Oklahoma in there?
Oklahoma's
probably not.
Missouri.
That was a terrible
Missouri.
Game.
Mickey would have been
so happy
if we didn't say Missouri. But that's unbelievable right there. So the only top 7 team that's not the SEC is Ohio State. But Texas looked phenomenal. Quinn Ewers now atop the Heisman Trophy betting odds at 5-1 odds ahead of Cam Ward from Miami. That team looks like a beast.
Yeah, the offense, him and Sark looked like they were just in their bag. Sark was calling plays like he was just like, this is too easy for me. Quinn Ewers looked very confident in all of his receivers. He looked confident in all of his throws. And Kevin, I asked last week, you know, like, do you think he's a good quarterback? And you're like, I think the reality is living up to the hype of the high school thing is difficult.
Yeah.
And here he is delivering at Texas, and it looked really good. And in the biggest test they've had so far, and one of the bigger tests they're going to have this year, but that was special for them going into their house and beating them that way.
And with Quinn Ewers, there are definitely times or stretches where you're like, I see every bit of why he was a composite perfect prospect for 24/7 sports and Athlon and everything like that. And there's other times it kind of feels like he disappears for parts here and there, but he was really good. Their offensive line, I thought, looked really good.
Their defense looks stacked.
Texas's college football odds dropped from 9-1 to 5-1. At this point, I know it's super early. They definitely look like not only a team that makes the playoffs, but it's like a live contender in it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. Are you ready for the most humble Super Bowl halftime show of all time? We'll do next right here on The Fan.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here, and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
17-3 Dallas. There's a delayed blitz tipped up in the air. Intercepted on the deflection by Parsons. The interception
Eric Kendricks.
Grabbed by Eric Kendricks.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Richard Sherman coming up at 11:50, Stephen Jones coming up at about noon. But right now, it's time to go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip.
Gridiron gravy, of course, brought to you by Rhino Shield. Why paint your house when you can shield your home? Visit rhinoshieldtx.com. Cowboys are victorious 33-17, in case you didn't know that.
I watched it.
I feel like you probably knew. I feel like most of our listeners knew.
It's an exciting thing, man.
I wanted to throw that out there nonetheless. And it appears as though Jake Ferguson has a sprained MCL. So still trying to get some details on that, but approximately 3 to 6 weeks would be the guess on how long he'll miss.
Do we need the details on his bone bruise part, or do we know anything about that yet?
I would think that would be...
All right, we'll find out. We'll see what we can find out.
Yeah, I guess.
Just trying to help out. Just trying to cover all bases, if you will.
I did not go to medical school. I cannot confirm.
Trying to convert all downs here.
Yes, absolutely. Now, bad news for the Steelers. You saw them play. But they did win. They did win. Cameron Johnston, their punter, suffered a knee-ending injury. And again, when you see that offense, that feels like a devastating injury.
Yes, but they have Boswell, who is a great kicker, and despite what their offense does, he can make kicks and punt. So you got to see him do that because he's the backup emergency punter as well. Kevin, that being said, they won. Justin Fields gets the win.
They did.
And he's like, look, I'm not trying to, you know, point out anything other than we won today. That's all I care about.
Yeah, I bet he's not. I'll tell you. Go ahead.
Yeah, with his 100. Well, dude, the whole NFL looked like it was from 1981 yesterday. Anyway,
that is fair.
But Kirk Cousins is miserable.
He was pretty bad.
And he looked like he didn't even want to be on the field. And he looked like they already told him, look, Penix is getting the job, buddy. Because he was just like, I don't care. I'm just going to throw it up in the air and see what happens. He didn't look like the real Kirk Cousins. That is good. Now, we've seen good Kirk Cousins before, and that looks like good Kirk Cousins is because of Kevin O'Connell, and that's why Sam Darnold looked pretty damn good. So, yeah, Kirk Cousins, like, the Falcons had a bad game overall. Kirk was a big part of it.
By the way, Mike Tomlin said, ask me who the quarterback will be on Tuesday. He knew what the questions were going to be, and Justin Fields had some struggles. He fumbled his first snap, missed on his open target on his first throw, but they did win the game.
I like what you're doing here, Chris Strong. I like this.
They play to win the game. Now, Kendrick Lamar, as if you didn't already think this, feels like he has officially won his beef with Drake. You might have thought that happened multiple months ago. He is going to headline the Super Bowl 59 halftime show in New Orleans. I love it. I think Kendrick Lamar is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely not like us because he's very good at what he does. We're just mediocre at what we do, Kevin. This is when the NFL was going, hey, did y'all just see this guy captivate the entire country for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
Like, there was no other story that mattered as much as what Kendrick Lamar was going to do next. And so the NFL said, we have to do that. And I could only imagine how many people he's going to bring up on after what he did at that pop out concert. He's going to be like, you know what? I'll bring the whole culture with me. Everybody's coming with me. And I'm bringing all of New Orleans. We're bringing back all the No Limit soldiers. We're going to go up here and have a really good time. And it could be probably the best ever, man. I'm really excited about it. Kendrick's a great rapper, great performer. And there's, for everything that he does on that stage, you're going to be waiting for that moment where he says something that goes, oh, he won again. He just keeps stomping on this dude.
Yes, I do see the feedback. My apologies. Season ending. Knee injury.
It's a knee ending.
A knee ending injury. I don't totally know what that would be. So.
Knee ending injury. Man, I'll tell you this, Kevin, the Twitch is not letting it by you, by the way, either. So
that's fair. Look, it's only fair. I still give Romo crap when Dak's foot was twisted around. He goes, maybe it's just a cramp. So, like, that's fair. A knee-ending injury. I'll work on being better. I really will work on being better. From the 940, seriously, though, who is Kendrick Lamar and why do we care? He's one of the most popular recording artists in the entire world. mm-hmm. and you should care because his music is awesome. Like, I get it. It's not, you know.
If you don't like rap, that's fine.
Yeah, it's not Mick Jagger or whatever. Like, we trotted out the old-time acts plenty. This is somebody who's happening now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Something.
I'm excited about something
that, like, literally, again, like I said, it was the biggest thing for about a three-week span when people were going back and forth. We hadn't seen anything like that, honestly, since Tupac and Biggie went back and forth the way they did. It wasn't as big and something that everybody was paying attention right. to at the time.
Let's go to cut number 24, because we got to see Kevontae Turpin with the punt return touchdown. But here's the awesomely named DJ Dallas making things happen on the kickoff return.
DJ Dallas with a burst across the 40. Bass can't take him down. Dallas may go on the outside. One man to beat, dives to the goal line. Touchdown, Arizona, no flags, 96 yards.
So you already got to see the new kick return in action. I'll admit, even though I saw it in the preseason, it's still weird. It is still weird to see that kickoff formation.
Yeah, and I don't know how long it's going to be that the announcers continue to tell you, hey, here's how it's working. I get it. We watched a lot of preseason, so we saw that already, and I felt like it was unnecessary to keep doing it. But there's audience that's just now getting there, and there will be audience throughout the year. Maybe it's an entire season. An entire season they're going to have to do that to make sure that people understand exactly what's happening here. But yeah, when DJ Dallas did that, and Kevin, there were a couple of significant runbacks that I saw that I was like, oh, this is interesting. So I'm, and again, there is going to be a time in a game where somebody scores a touchdown and it's late in the game and that kickoff turns into something special that alters the game. And we're going to be like, man, I'm glad that this rule was instituted because fourth quarters can be more exciting.
I know we were focused on the Cowboys and the biggest news in the NFL was that Dak deal. But outside of Dak and the Cowboys, what was the biggest story of the day yesterday?
I'm sorry. Tyreek Hill's
cut
moment.
Number 25. Let's go to this man right here.
First and 10 to a ton of Bangalore. Armstead the block, and he's going deep. He's caught Hill. Foot race. Driving. 36. Oh, he's a ghost. 80-yard touchdown.
Then, of course, Tyreek Hill, after the touchdown, he had a teammate help him with the celebration of the hands behind his back and the handcuffs, which I thought was funny.
I just saw a tweet from Jeff Darlington, who is like the best at this right now when it comes to the legal stuff. Per sources, he received 2 citations as a result of his traffic stop on Sunday.
Okay.
Careless driving and a seatbelt violation.
Ooh,
Calais Campbell.
That.
Yeah, you've had that plenty of times. Calais Campbell, who said after the game, police told him they briefly had placed him in handcuffs for disobeying direct order, did not end up receiving a citation. And the Miami-Dade Police Department told him also that it remains an internal investigation, so they can't provide more details yet. So
and
that's
I do believe they put one officer on administrative leave because of that. But like I know people have thoughts about Tyreek Hill with Calais Campbell. He is a former Walter Payton Man of the Year award winner, and he said he saw what was happening and tried to get in there to de-escalate the situation, which I understand. But from a police perspective, I can also see how you're like, I don't want anybody coming in to the scene.
Yeah,
like, I understand.
Absolutely. I totally get that part. I do like the question, though, that Tyreek did ask afterwards. What if I wasn't Tyreek Hill?
Sure.
Would like my name means something and it changes. It's different. But if I'm somebody else, what happens? And that's an interesting question and great conversation. If people want to have the conversation, a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I get it. I wasn't there. I don't know exactly what happened. I understand why that question went up, has come up. But Tyreek Hill get work done as well. But it was still
don't be speeding in your Lamborghini or Ferrari or whatever it is.
Look. And Corey made allusions to it. Wear your seatbelt.
Yes.
Is your question, have I actually gotten a citation for that before? Yes. Is your follow-up question, have I got 2 of them in my life? And the answer is still yes. After that, I got my head in the game, and I started wearing my seatbelt.
I was in the car with my buddy one day when he got one, And I was like, I was wearing my seatbelt. He wasn't wearing his. I was like, why aren't you wearing yours? And he was like, well, what's even dumber is I got one of these already today.
That same day?
He'd already gotten one that morning.
Oh, man. It's the same thing with speeding. If you ever get a ticket, I feel like I'm on my best driving behavior for the rest of the day.
Well, a lot of times, Kevin, when something happens, you're like, well, you know what? From here on, nothing, like, they can't get me again. I can't get lightning struck twice.
I don't think it there works it like that. I don't think if you get pulled over, the police officer goes, well, it says here you've already been cited once for speeding today. I'm going to let this one pass. It feels like he's less likely to let it pass.
My apologies. That was a McLaren. My apologies. My son is going to destroy me for that.
He will be upset.
McLarens.
Now, we talked about Tyreek Hill and the big touchdown right there, but Mike Bacsik was still holding out hope to the very end that the Jaguars could get it done. But if you go to cut number 17, 'twas not to be. And that's why Mike's not here today. That and he's on assignment with the Rangers this week.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I think they both hold.
Because he's so sad about the Dolphins winning?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or about Dak getting his contract. I don't know. It could be.
I am famous.
Yeah.
Could be one of those things. All right, if we're talking about exciting plays of the weekend, can we go to cut number 23? This is Jonathan Owens, who is in fact married to Simone Biles, making things happen.
Stonehouse with pressure, a block. It's scooped up by the Bears. Back the other way. Jonathan Owens, touchdown, Chicago.
If they hadn't let him go to the Olympics, he wouldn't have had the legs to make that happen.
Oh, possible
is my claim.
Simone Biles said she almost had a heart attack watching that play, which I get it. I don't think she literally means that.
It was just exciting.
Yeah.
I get it.
Because her husband scored a touchdown.
Yeah, that is pretty cool, man. That is a pretty awesome moment. Will Levis was terrible, just as predicted.
He was.
Caleb Williams looked like a rookie, as we kind of all thought. And that has a lot of room to grow. But man, that Bears defense was on fire yesterday.
So Caleb Williams, 14 of 29 for a robust 92 yards. He averaged 3.2 yards per pass attempt and didn't throw a touchdown or turn the ball over. But did you know he is the first number one pick QB since 2002 to win his NFL debut? Do you remember who the last player was to do it?
John Elway.
You should remember.
Jim Plunkett. David Carr.
David Carr. With the upstart Houston Texans, got it done in 2002 against your Dallas Cowboys.
Who was the... Oh yeah. So you got to rub it in that it was against
the Cowboys. That was 22 years ago. Do you care about that still?
Do you know who the guy was, Kevin? The other two were before that, though.
I do not. Were the people you said,
the number one overall QBs are 4-14 in week one since 1970 with Carr, John Elway, and Jim Plunkett as the only other ones to win.
There you go. Very well done. Not surprising. We've talked about this a lot, but CBS caught up with our show yesterday and said that the NFL commissioner and NFLPA executive director are discussing the 18-game schedule.
Ooh.
So whether players like it, I assume fans would probably like it. I also assume you'll have two bye weeks if that is the case. We've been talking about this for a while. The discussions are apparently ongoing. You want to talk about the Broncos?
Sure.
The Broncos had two safeties in the first half.
Shouldn't have lost.
They what?
If you have two safeties, you shouldn't lose. Matter of fact, Kevin, I think there is a stat that backs that up. Give me just a moment to find that stat.
I would like to know what that stat is. They gave up 17 straight points in the second half. Wound up losing 26-20.
The Broncos became the sixth team in NFL history to score two safeties and lose.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So six teams have done it. I guess maybe it's more likely that if you get two safeties, you lose. I don't know how often getting two safeties in one game happens.
Surely those teams have won more than six times.
Kevin,
right?
I'm pumping the brakes now on Bo Nix. The preseason showed us that against backups, he's very good. He still has a lot of growth to do. All these rookies, this week showed they still have a lot of work to do to grow into NFL game speed.
Okay. Well, hopefully that'll come along. Actually, you know what? That's fine if it doesn't, too. I'm not like a Broncos fan.
Nick's averaged 2.5 air yards per completion. That's not good.
Compare that with Anthony Richardson, who had a 60-yard touchdown pass to Alec Pierce that traveled 65.3 yards in the air, the third longest completion in the next-gen stats era. We talk about this all the time. You got everything from the Anthony Richardson experience yesterday.
Yeah.
You saw that dude has a shotgun for an arm, but then you saw some other throws that you're like, the hell was even the point of that?
Well, Kevin, it's one of those shotguns that you saw in the Bugs Bunny cartoons that has the bow at the horn at the end. So you never really know where it's going. You just know that it's going. And that's kind of what you're dealing with. Dude, he's a special playmaker. But his highs are high. His lows can be extremely low. He's a roller coaster.
Yeah, he really is. All right. Couple more quick things for you. We talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Their kicker not only kicks 6 field goals to account for every single Steelers point, he made 3 field goals that were 50 yards or longer. He made a field goal from 51, 56, and 57. So heck of a job right there. And then also, I thought that this was a heck of a job. Alex Singleton, the linebacker for the Denver Broncos. Did you see yesterday he sported the Calgary Flames Johnny Gaudreau jersey or sweater going into the game against Seattle? I just think that's nice and classy, and I appreciate that people are, you know, trying to keep that memory alive.
Yeah, tip that cap, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we might have time for a little bit more gridiron, but also Super Bowl champion, soon-to-be Hall of Famer, and member of the Amazon Prime Thursday Night Football team, it's Richard Sherman right here on The Fan.
The kick actually comes from the goal line. A little end-over-end wobbler taken at the 40 by Turpin. Trying to get up the middle, 50, 45, get a block. Right sideline, 30, he's pointing. 20 and to the 15, to the 10. There's your return, Cavante Turpin.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. By the way, the Cowboys' domination of the Cleveland Browns yesterday was one of NFL.com's top 5 surprises of the opening weekend. You're probably not surprised to know that the Bengals losing to the Patriots was number 1. We got Richard Sherman coming up in just a few minutes, but it's a Cowboys Monday, Victory Monday. I got a couple more football notes for you. As if things could get too much worse for the Panthers, it looks like their defensive tackle Derek Brown might have suffered a season-ending knee injury in the week 1 loss. Not a knee-ending injury, which, yes, I continue to see your texts about that. That is a fair point. And let's go to Josh Allen. Josh Allen injured his non-throwing hand in week 1. This is what he has to say. My hand is fine. And then added, quote, I'm not a doctor. So I think people who are looking for like further medical information one way or another, he's like, hey, I'm not a doctor, but I think my hand is fine.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt when I do this. It doesn't hurt whenever I grip the football because I grip the football with my other hand. So I'm just going to go out there and do the best I can. Kevin, after he fumbled to start that game, I was like, oh my gosh, people are going to have a feast on him. Because everybody all offseason like, Josh Allen's not that good. And then he comes up and was like, hey, by the way, don't forget, I do turn the ball over a lot, but right, I also score a lot of touchdowns.
Right.
And he did that for his team in Buffalo for Buffalo yesterday.
Man. And how nice. Big was that? Because most of the day, it looked like they were probably going to lose that game. The Bills at one point were down to the Cardinals 17-3. And I thought they were going to go on the pile along with the Bengals in terms of teams that you're like, the hell happened? Who is good in the AFC to kick things off that we expected?
Yeah, and it looks like it doesn't matter who his receivers are because Mac Hollins had the touchdown, and that's our friend from the Super Bowl in Arizona who was barefoot. But really awesome to talk to. He was like grounding at the Super Bowl. But he was really awesome to talk to. And it's just like, hey, it doesn't matter who I'm throwing to. I'll figure something out. Keon Coleman looked pretty good too, man.
And we continue to monitor the injury situation for the Cowboys. We got Stephen Jones coming up at 12:00. We will ask him for any more specifics when it comes to Jake Ferguson. I know people are also very curious about the contract status of Dak when it comes to no trade clause, franchise tag, and everything like that. All right, let's stick with some more football. Joe,
thank you,
Mixon. I mean,
I love football. It was opening weekend. I love it. I'm exactly
okay. Do you want to talk about Joe Mixon or Drew Bledsoe?
Mixon.
Okay.
Bledsoe.
Okay.
Let's go Bledsoe.
All right, Chris, let's go ahead and fire off cut number 18, because Drew Bledsoe was featured in a piece ESPN was doing about the dynamics between the starting quarterback and the backup quarterback. And he decided to just drop this bomb in there about Tony Romo.
In Dallas, Parcells made the decision to yank me at halftime of a game and throw Romo in there. Really didn't agree with that one. If you're watching this, Romo, you know this is true. The minute that he became the starter, he became pretty big in his own mind. And he was no longer the curious and inquisitive guy. Where that was the difference between him and Tommy. Tommy became the starter. He still was asking all the questions, where all of a sudden Romo was the guy that had all the answers.
Look,
oh man,
I don't know how much people want to go back and like litigate that situation, but what did you think about Drew Bledsoe just being like, oh, the hell with it. Screw Tony Romo.
Maybe they didn't have a great relationship.
It does not sound like they had a good relationship.
Yeah, man, that's that one. That is great. I love it because, and you know, he's also taking a shot at the guy that didn't win a Super Bowl. He's like, look, target. I'm pals with the guy that won all these Super Bowls and is now the broadcaster on Fox. And I, you know, this guy over here, what did he really do to earn it? He had all the answers. That's really interesting. And I can kind of see it, honestly. I mean, Tony became a big star. He was the Cowboys quarterback at that point.
So you think it would be a tougher stand to take if you're like, you know who is a jerk about it? Tom Brady. Because like,
it doesn't matter because he won.
People are going to go, cool.
Yeah, he won.
And it turned out just fine.
Yeah, so maybe being a big jerk's the way to go.
Yeah, sorry.
But it turns out Tom Brady's awesome, Kevin.
Okay.
He hated Tom Brady all this time, and here he is. Drew Bledsoe tells us he's awesome.
It was just really interesting timing leading into the season. And I was wishing that they would have cut like directly to Tony Romo. Tony, your thoughts on Drew Bledsoe? Like, I realize that's probably not in their best interest in the course of the football game.
Still would have been more fun, though.
That is very fair. Now, you wanted to talk about Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon was tremendous yesterday. 159 yards rushing, 30 carries, and a touchdown. The Texans do not win that game. Like, I like CJ Stroud a lot. The Texans do not win that game without Joe Mixon. Fair?
Yeah, because especially late in that game, they were still able to hand him the ball and punish the Colts defenses. And it took time. They wore on the Colts defense over time. But then late in the game, they needed that and they got it from Joe Mixon. And then to just to kind of add on to that, Kevin, when you need to get rid of some clock because the opposing offense has some big playability, that's really nice to have. I told you this thing last week, though. Joe Mixon out of the backfield, not just a really good runner, but a good receiver for CJ Stroud, not Caleb Stroud. Really good receiver for him as well. So like that's a great combination that he has, because he also has really good playmakers downfield. But whenever you have a guy that you can check down to that can turn it into a big play, it's big for your team.
I know this is mostly football all day today, and Richard Sherman should be coming up in about 1 or 2 minutes. And then we've got Stephen Jones right after that. But we have just 1 minute for Rangers baseball.
Sure.
All right. Did you see Sebastian Walcott, the 18-year-old prospect, has been elevated to Double A? He will become the youngest player to suit up at the Double A level this year. The Rangers continue to play well. They only need to go 17-1 the rest of the season to probably make the playoffs.
All right. This is good. This is cool. This is fun. It's exciting, and he deserves it. Are the Rangers? They're getting,
I don't know what those noises
are. Are they fast-tracking some of these guys because they're looking ahead going, we're going to be cheap later down the road and we know we're going to need to rely on our youth that's very cheap? Or are they saying, look, these guys are earning it along the way? I think they're earning it. I think it also is helping the Rangers look at their roster situation and their money situation and go, oh, can't we just plug these guys in? The fans are going to be excited about the youthful promise of these guys, the hope that they can be the next, and they're going to be excited to root for them. So that's really cool for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think he's necessarily being fast-tracked. Plus, I think they just want to, hey, let's get a look, and let's see if we start you. Let's see if we start you next year in Double A, or for like, hey, maybe Hickory is the best place to start you again.
And he gets more reps, gets more cuts, gets to, you know, just that's a positive.
But I'm not going to start speculating about how quick he's going to be up to the big club.
It's next still year,
gonna, no,
to start the season.
No, it's not going to be next year. And then, by the way, Yannick Sinner defeated Taylor Fritz, the great American hope, in straight sets for his second Grand Slam title this year. Did you consider not watching football at any point yesterday to switch over to the U.S. Open?
Not one time, Kevin. Not one time.
Okay, well, that is indeed unfortunate. By the way, for people in the YouTube asking about Richard Sherman, great question.
Yeah.
He should be here imminently, and this is going to make this schedule really, really fascinating because we've got Stephen Jones coming up as well. So we're going to have a jam-packed run of football interviews for you. Why are you shaking your head?
I don't know, man. Here we are at our time, and I just maybe we need to move on.
Oh, there he is. All right.
There he is.
Right now, we bring to you Super Bowl champion, soon to be Hall of Famer, member of Amazon Prime Video's Thursday Night Football team. It is Richard Sherman. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. Happy to be here. How you doing?
We're doing great because the Cowboys were victorious. I know we need to talk about Thursday Night Football coming up, but did you have any opinions bouncing out of that really dominant Cowboys performance?
Yeah, I mean, it was exactly that. They looked really good on both sides of the football. It was great to see Trayvon Diggs come back, get him an interception in his first game back. I mean, Al Harris deserves so much freaking credit. I mean, it's a shame that he's not a D coordinator already. I mean, you got multiple corners having pretty much double-digit picks multiple years. Like, you don't hear about that this day and age with these offenses, and it's not an accident that it's happening. But Dak Prescott looked really good. CeeDee Lamb looked good. Zeke, it was cool to see him back in a Cowboys uniform in the end zone. It was a really full game, and that was a really great defense. I mean, Cleveland's defense was really premier last year. They have a lot of big-time players. Obviously, Myles Garrett is at the head of it, Defensive Player of the Year. And they obviously pretty much had their way with him throughout that game, and that was really impressive to watch.
Man, you're talking to some guys that got to talk to Al Harris at training camp this year, and we just love the guy. He's a great person, and he loves that secondary unit. He loves each one of those individuals. When you see, because yesterday the safeties, Donovan Wilson and Hooker, they were thumping yesterday. When you're in that secondary and you see your safeties hitting the way they were hitting, what does that do for you at corner and the rest of the guys?
Man, as a guy who played with some of the best safeties to ever play this game, in Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, it makes you feel like you have to match that energy. You know, the same as when you're getting an interception, they feel like they have to get an interception. It's just a standard of play. And when somebody sets the standard, then you meet the standard. Or you get replaced, and somebody else will meet the standard. But it definitely sets the tone for how the game's going to go, and you have to be part of the tone. Like, hey, this is the tone setter. That means, hey, when they come around this corner, then your pads need to be put on their body in a big way every single time you do it, and I'm sure the guys felt that.
I know he was getting harassed consistently yesterday, but what in the world has happened to Deshaun Watson? Because it feels like more than just the pressure that was getting him yesterday.
Yeah, I wish I could explain. Because he's a good guy, he's a good friend of mine, and I got a lot of respect for him and the way he carries himself, but it's just been rough the last couple of years. I don't know if he just has lost his confidence, because confidence is a big part of this game, as you know, and I've never played the quarterback position, so I can't speak from true experience that, hey, man, maybe it's this, maybe this is happening, because I haven't played it. But it just doesn't look like he believes in himself. He believes in his reads. He believes that he's going to have success. There's a lot of self-doubt there, and I don't know where it's coming from. And I hope that he can snap out of it and get back to his old ways, because he's a really great player when he's at his best.
Not that you weren't well compensated throughout your career, but when you see the Dak deal, do you kind of wish you had played the quarterback position?
No, heck no. No, I'm very impressed and proud of Dak, and just proud of the amount of quarterbacks of color. You know, black quarterbacks are there's more black quarterbacks in the league than ever before, and they're just getting the opportunity. And it's cool to see him play at the level he did. He was a second-team All-Pro last year, you know, up for the MVP at times of the year. And for him to get what he deserves and what he's earned is a cool thing for the league and cool thing for everybody.
CeeDee Lamb, I just watched his progression since he was at OU and then into the NFL, and he just looks like it looks like it doesn't faze him. It looks like he keeps getting better. When you're trying to cover a CeeDee Lamb-type receiver, like, how do you stop that guy?
Well, he's so dynamic in the ways they use him. You know, it's not like you could say, hey, these are the three or four routes he does well. So this is what you got to get ready for. These are his release packages. They put him in the slot. He's working on the outside. So he's really become a very complete receiver that's really difficult to game plan for, because you never know where he's going to line up on the field. Even when you're following him around and you're chasing him around, they're going to motion him. They're going to hide him. And he does a great job with how smooth he is with his timing. He's manipulating the defense with very subtle things, and it's really been cool to watch. I think it's crazy. Jerry's playing with fire, waiting to pay everybody.
Yeah,
you know, and that's why you end up paying Dak Prescott $60 million, because you're sitting there. I don't know if you're banking on them getting hurt or banking on them having an off season so you can think the price is going to go down, but waiting to pay Micah Parsons, waiting to pay Dak Prescott, waiting to pay CeeDee Lamb when they're playing at their highest level right now was probably a big mistake, because it's, you know, it's going to cost you 36, 37 to pay Micah now.
When, yep.
If you'd have done it a couple years ago, it might have cost you 31, 32, you know, but.
Well, that's a perfect transition for us, because we're about to have Stephen Jones on. So we're going to ask him some of those questions. I know Thursday Night Football starts as exclusive third season this Thursday night. 6 p.m. is when coverage starts. You got the Bills. You got the Dolphins. I know you're on a tight schedule. Thank you very much for jumping on with us.
I appreciate you guys having me.
There you go. Richard Sherman right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.